Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3 and 17 to 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and south. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathe all the food and draw near the gates of death. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wondrous deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell his works with songs of joy. Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on earth. So God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in all the ones he loves. Good morning. This is Tim Tribble broadcasting from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3 and 17 to 22, Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 to 17, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. So today's readings have to do with the term covenant. We hear that quite a bit in the reading. And a lot of us in today's world, and especially in Western culture, We're not real familiar with a covenant. It's more than a contract. So most of you used to like business contracts, rental contracts, things like that. Way more than that. This is something in the times in pre-Christ, during Christ times, that were done, and it was a ritual. It was more binding than family. So you can draw your correlations that you would like there. But this was a blood covenant. It was called the ancient ritual of cutting a blood covenant. And there are seven parts to creating a covenant. First thing is you exchange cloaks, which signifies a promise that there would be everything I have is now yours, both going both ways. They trading cloaks, they exchanged their identity. There was an exchange of weapons. This signified that one, they weren't going to attack each other, and two, that if anyone attacks you, I will hunt them down and get revenge, payback, even if you know it costs me my own life. They exchanged names. So they shared in all the obligations, liabilities, and advantages of the names that they exchanged. Somewhat similar to marriage, but not quite. That trying to relate to something we can relate to in this day and age. And then there was the exchange of blood. So they would make a cut. and they would bring their wrists together so that their blood co-mingled, mingled together. And that was the blood covenant. It was the joining of two lives into one. Then there was an exchange of blessings and curses. And it was during the cutting of the flesh. Sometimes animals were cut in ceremony, split in two, with the men walking in the pieces of figure eight. That was, if you remember, the one in the Bible where Moses, they laid down the animals, and then the Spirit of the Lord, there's a flame, passed over the animals. That would be that part of it. The memorial exchange. So they would exchange seven stones for generations. So this was not just a, two guys doing a thing for, the next few years. This was a generational, they were then bound together, and then they would have a meal, and they would break bread. So there's a lot of similarities and things with God's covenant with Abram and the other covenants that we read about in the Bible. And then in the new covenant, so there's a lot of what's the word I want to use here? There's a lot of imagery. So when we talk about the new covenant, so Jesus came, was crucified on the cross. This is the beginning of the new covenant. So we had Abraham's covenant, and we know how well that worked out. And so then we turn around. Now we have the covenant with Jesus, through Jesus, the new covenant. So there's several, but the exchanging of the cloak, there's some scriptures here. Philippians 2:7, Jesus became a man. 1 Corinthians 1:30, he became our righteousness. Galatians 3:27, we put on Christ. Colossians 3:10, we put on a new man. And Luke 12:31, the promise for provision. And then the exchange of weapons, which is the promise for protection. So Ephesians 6:11, of course, we have the armor of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3, the weapons are divinely powerful. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord will protect us. And then we have under the exchange of names, we have the joined identities and responsibilities being shared. So in John 1:12, we become children of God. In Acts 11:26, disciples are called Christians. And then, and then we have the exchange of blood. So John 19, the crucifixion, the seven wounds. Galatians 2:20, we are crucified with Christ. Romans 2:29, the circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2:11-12, removal of flesh. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. That's the difference. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. No animal is needed. Then we have the exchange of the blessings and the curses. So 1 Corinthians 6:11, we are justified in Christ. Colossians 2:10, they write, we are complete in Christ. Matthew 3:11 talks about being anointed by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:8-19, we have authority in Jesus' name. Galatians 3:13, Jesus became our curse. In the exchange of memorial gifts, we have 2 Corinthians 1:22, which seals us with the Spirit as a pledge. And then we have Luke 22:15-20, the Lord's Supper, which again, coming down in the exchange of bread, flesh, and wine, the blood. So we have John 5:53-58, eat my flesh and drink my blood to be in me. John 17:23, Jesus is in us. Ephesians 2:6-7, we are in Christ. And then John 15 talks about how we abide in Christ. So there's a lot of correlation. These are things that are done. Remember when this is written, and one of the things we have to take into account when reading the Bible is they're using things that are familiar to the people at that time. We've changed. That doesn't mean that God, that our faith has changed any. It's just the things that we use now to describe things and get people to understand how things relate are different because we don't do these things anymore. We don't do sacrifices anymore. In blood sacrifice, we don't go down and sacrifice animals and things like that. That's been gone for some time. And they're using descriptors and things that people in that time period and time frame would understand. So sometimes we have to go back, and it's really, really important when we're reading the Bible and looking at things, to go back and look and understand what the culture was like in that area at that time. And then it makes things clearer to us. Because you got to be really, 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 really careful with literalism, because things change. And as we get a better understanding of translating the ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew into English and start using words in context with what is being said and not just translating word for word for word for word. People who are familiar with linguistics understand this. If I say, "Hello, my name is Tim," and we take that sentence and we translate those words as they are, in that order, into any other language, most of the time we're going to wind up, it's going to sound really weird to the person who's that original language speaker, because they will not, they have a different grammar, different context. So just something to keep in mind. That's how we're refining things and getting better understandings of translations. Amen.
A prayer for all sorts and conditions of people from the Book of Common Prayer. O God, the creator and preserver of all humanity, we humbly beseech you for all sorts and conditions of people, that you would be pleased to make your ways known to them, your saving health unto all nations. More especially, we pray for the Holy Church Universal, that it may be so guided and governed by your good Spirit, that all who profess and call themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Finally, we commend to your fatherly goodness all those who are in any ways afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please you to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under their sufferings, and a happy issue out of all their afflictions. And this we beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac. Always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.